My topic today is called Counseling an Unbeliever, and let me go ahead and just open us up in prayer, okay? Lord, thank you again for another day of this conference. Thank you for the women who are here, Lord, and what you've been teaching them through your word. God, thank you for the gift of the ministry of biblical counseling, that we get to share biblical hope with those around us. And we pray that what we study today, Lord, would just help us to bring more glory and honor to you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So while this session is called Counseling an Unbeliever, I like to think of this talk as God's way versus the world's way. So my goal is to share ways that you can biblically counsel non-believers. I want to demonstrate how we can keep in mind foundational biblical counseling principles while still presenting the gospel to those who are not yet saved. So the counselees that this topic might affect would be those women who maybe they're coming to biblical counseling because they're interested in what the Bible has to say or offer, but they have not yet put their faith in Christ. Or there's times when unbelievers come to counseling because they've tried everything else, it's free, or they have no other option. And there's also times when people come just because they view themselves as spiritual or religious. Maybe they say they have traditional religious moral values, and so they're interested to see what Christians have to say about the issues in their life. There's also those who might just be coming and call themselves Christians, but there's no evidence or fruit in their life. So maybe these women are more of the cultural Christians that we see around us. But no matter what, I hope that this is an obvious point to make. We should always be sharing the gospel in biblical counseling. But today I want to encourage you that as you're evangelizing your counselee and sharing the gospel message repeatedly, that we can focus on how to demonstrate God's way as being so much better than the world's way for handling issues in life. As we seek to instill gospel hope into the heart of those who do not yet believe regarding whatever issues she's brought to counseling, I hope that this session will help you see how evangelism can still take place while trying to address those issues. So first, I'll talk about how first we need to know who God is and ways that we can teach about who he is specifically to someone who is not yet a believer. After that, I'll talk about how we can have a worldview comparison and the hope that a biblical worldview brings. And then we'll talk about finally how understanding and knowing the gospel really is the answer for any issue or problem that someone brings to the counseling room. At the end, I'll also touch a little bit on some special circumstances where people might be very hard-hearted or closed off to the gospel. But in all of this, I just want to address the question of what does biblical counseling look like for someone who is not yet a follower of Christ? So to get started, let's focus on the point of how to start counseling anyone. Start with God. In counseling an unbeliever in the biblical counseling room, you have the opportunity to demonstrate and show how the God of the Bible is worthy of our love, trust, and obedience. So to do so, we have to explain what the Bible teaches about who God is and what his character is like. And as we do this, we need to remind ourselves that we cannot control people's responses to the truths that we share about God, but we can pray and trust the Holy Spirit to make God so lovely to the eyes of an unbelieving counselee that she'll want to put her faith, hope, and trust in his plan of salvation for her life. And as we start teaching about God, I think it's important to first understand with her what her prior understanding of God is. Asking the unbeliever a lot of questions about who she believes God to be will be very insightful for you. So spend time during your first few sessions with an unbeliever probing in these questions, asking her what she believes and why. Push her to think critically about what has formed her beliefs about God so far. Honestly, I've been very surprised by what some people come to counseling thinking about who God really is. And as you listen to her answers, this will help you get a grasp of her current knowledge of God or her lack thereof. That will help you then see where you can start correcting or filling in the gaps with biblical truth. This time is also an opportunity to be listening for the heart issues, just like in any other biblical counseling case, because who she believes God to be and why can really help us understand what those root heart issues are. So here's some examples of questions that you can ask in order to determine her prior or her current understanding of God. Who is God? And how did you learn about who he is? Or who taught you that? How would you describe God and why? Or what's his role in your life? What's God's role in the world? And where did you learn that from? Even us as believers can have false images of God in our head when we try to explain who he is to someone else. So we have to guard against explaining him just on what we feel or how we've experienced him, rather than on the biblical descriptions of God found in his word. And first and foremost, we should look at how God describes himself, or God's self-description. The Bible's full of passages where the Lord himself is telling his people about who he is. So I just wanted to share a few excerpts from some of those passages that tell God's perspective of who God is. Exodus 34, 4 through 7, here God describes himself as compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin, yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. Or in Isaiah 45, 25 through 29, he says that he created the heavens. He knows the starry host, name each of them by name. He's the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. And in Jeremiah 9, 23 through 24, we see that God describes himself as someone who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth, and that he delights in those things. Explain how, because God has told us so vividly and detailed about who he is, we don't get to add or take away from that, especially if we just don't like a certain part of his character, for example, his justice or his punishment of sin. Make sure to show love and patience while also standing firm on what God's word says about who he is. And then after looking at his self-descriptions, spend time going over some common biblical themes describing God from the Bible. So look at descriptions and characteristics that depict the qualities of God. For example, the places in the Bible that talk about him as faithful and trustworthy, how he's perfectly good. Talk about God as our rock, our refuge, our strength. And show her that his mighty power is enough to work in her life to either help her overcome or bear through whatever issues she is facing. Talk with her about how God is a promise keeper to his people. Show her glimpses of God's faithfulness even in the midst of his people's unfaithfulness. And lead her to passages where God fulfills promises or prophecies from decades or centuries before. What a privilege it really is to get to share who God is with someone, possibly for the first time. So there's many passages that I could point you to, but in your notes I've given you several different lists of verses with some of these themes. So here's just first a few passages that teach on how God is faithful. So for example, Lamentations 3, 22 to 23 says, "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." And just like there's an abundance of evidence of God's faithfulness, you can also show her many passages that demonstrate how he is trustworthy. Deuteronomy 7, 9 says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments." The Bible also teaches us that God is good, and that's very foundational for someone wanting to put their faith in Christ. Psalm 145, 9 describes God this way, "The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made." Now, my heart specifically loves to reflect on the verses that describe God as our rock, our fortress, and our refuge. And I think these can be really powerful in demonstrating who God is to someone who does not yet know him. Psalm 18:2, for example, says, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." And when someone trusts in God, not only is he our rock and our refuge, but his mighty power is now our strength, what makes us strong and able to face life. Psalm 73, 25 through 26 says, "Whom am I in heaven but you? In earth has nothing I desire besides you. My heart and my flesh may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." A great homework assignment would be comparing the initial thoughts and beliefs that your counselee has about God with what the Bible says about him. So you could have her come up with a list of the ways that she would describe God and come up with the sources for where she learned that from or where she got those ideas. And then, of course, come ready to show your list of sources from Scripture about how you can describe God in these ways.